Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Motorsports NRL Show. I'm your host, Lainey Arrowsmith, and wherever you are, at home or in the car, or if you're tuning in for the first time, thank you and welcome. So joining me on the panel for another episode to share our hot takes, tipping mistakes and opinions that aren't fake, hello, Lachlan McIntyre and Georgie Sumter. How are you both, and how was your weekend of football?
I'm doing great, thanks, Lainey. Any weekend of football is a good weekend of football, in my opinion. Unfortunately, it wasn't a good weekend of football for my Tigers, but certainly some great results in there, results that I definitely wasn't expecting, and it just goes to show what an exciting season we have on hand this year. How are you going, Georgie?
I'm good, thanks, guys. Was a good weekend of football and some unpredictable scores happening, wasn't there?
Yeah, certainly. Well, I just want to tell you both, great footy indeed. But Lachlan and Georgie, I started watching the Super League over the weekend.
Good on you.
Yeah, I thought I'd get into it. I know, luckily you talk about it a bit, and I probably don't give it the fair chance that I should. But yeah, I was watching the Leeds Rhino versus Warrington Wolves match because I wanted to see how they're playing with Sam Burgess coaching, and they are so good. I'm not overly invested yet, but pretty merciless with their play. I can see why Sam Burgess will stay there because the crowd, it was all up in, you know, the opposition's face. Atmosphere was fantastic. I'll probably start joining that tipping competition soon to get into it. But yeah, really, really exciting. No doubt Lachlan, you and I will probably be exchanging comments on the WhatsApp about it too. But yeah, anyway, so on the show today, we'll dig into our best and worst performances from the past weekend of play, check in on how sorry our tipping was for round five. Look, there's a couple of headlines that we will go through because it has been a very interesting round of football, a lot of injuries and such. We'll probably touch on that aspect and how that affects our tipping later when we give you our tips for round six. But probably the items, I guess you could say, on our agenda today when we do touch on headlines, it's mostly off-field stuff. It's not really too much on the on-field, but we will get there soon. All right, so let's sink into our tips and the games that were played. None of us picked Manly. I just thought I'd say I cannot believe none of us had picked Manly. Lachlan, 3 out of 8 tips. Lainey and Georgie, 4 out of 8. I don't know what happened. Were we all hoping for upsets, or did all the teams we expect just not perform to expectations? Who wants to talk first and explain the performance of their tips?
I think we've got to just put it down to what a great weekend of football it was. It was unexpected, I think, by anyone's standards. So hopefully it wasn't just us who had no idea what was coming across round five. So yeah, hopefully.
Okay, so let's get in. Georgie, did you have any explanation about your tipping? I mean, look, you got 4 out of 8.
I was terrible tipper. Don't listen to me.
Yeah, I think, Lachlan, one comment that I remember that you said last week was, if Bulldogs come out and win it, they'd be insane. Wow, we saw some insanity in that match.
I think
match.
I did say that.
You did.
Definitely did say that. And yeah, it was insane in my defense. So
yeah, we'll dig into that match. Don't worry, we will. All right, so let's reflect quickly. Best team or player for the round, Lachlan. Who is your pick for round five?
Manly for me. I think they bounced back really well from a bit of a disappointing round four to come out and beat Penrith. That's obviously no easy task. So good on them. And I think Daly Cherry Evans is my player in that side, really steered them around well. So yeah, massive win for Manly, I think. What do you reckon, Georgie?
Yeah, they played really well, didn't they? And for him to be the early cherry and to be the most capped player, it was sad to see someone overtake Cliffy, but it's bound to happen in these games now. They're lasting longer, the players. Mine was Wade Egan directing play for the Warriors. And I think your Warriors played really well, Lainey. It was a really good game. It was close. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong bit there. I was looking at them playing.
It was close in the South Sydney's mind.
Yeah, sorry. Warriors played Manly. Sorry, cut. The Warriors just outclassed the Rabbits. I mean, the Rabbits are falling apart very fast, as we can all see. The Raiders were good, as were the Broncos. Ezra Mann, he had a cracker. So that's who I picked.
Good shouts. Good shout, both of you. I thought, yeah, Manly for sure. And I thought Warriors. I don't want to gush about how good the Warriors are because of my team. I sound like that person, so I won't. I'll do that later in the episode. But I actually thought Raiders for me against the Eels. I think it was the Raiders just showing how good they can be after that match last round against the Sharks. I also thought Jordan Rapana was perhaps the standout for that match. He finished with over 100 running meters, over 50% of them were post contact, a line break, and two tackle breaks in just over 40 minutes. Now, after the last round where he reached his 200th milestone, I think this was a bit of a do over for him, because that last match was just awful. But I don't know if any of you managed to watch this, but after 3 minutes, his knee popped out. And then he was taken off. Then he appears on the sidelines, you know, still in his kit with his knee strapped up quite heavily. And then after halftime, he was back out there. And then I think he took a bomb, fell, and then popped his knee out again. And then they managed to reset it. I don't know how these guys are just such gladiators out there. And then, yeah, still plays on. But yeah, I'm probably just paraphrasing this, obviously, for language. But he said, after last week's garbage we dished out, we owed it to our fans and ourselves to put a bit of pride back in our jerseys and show that was a one-off garbage game. So Jordan Rapana and Canberra Raiders were my call-outs for that, for best player and best team for the round. Okay, so worst or underwhelming team or player for the round. I'll go to you, Georgie. Who have you got?
Have we all got the Rabbits? We should. What the? What's going on, Latrell? What were those snaps about? That was just crazy nonsense. It goes to show you how, what's the big word, discombobulated, that the Rabbits are. There is trouble in that camp. And then with Ilias breaking his leg in Reggie's, so Dean Hawkins has to stay. Then you've got Latrell out. Probably Jared Gray will come in, but we'll talk about that after. Para can't get it together either. So they're my two. And I'm hoping everybody jumps on board with the Rabbits, because it's just so sad. So sad. So disappointing. As a member, I'm so disappointed.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Georgie. I had the Eels over the Rabbits written down, but absolutely very tough decision between the two for the worst. The Raiders just blew the Eels out of the park, especially the Eels didn't let it get away from them at the start. And I think if you're going to do that, you have to be able to keep it up and stay in the game. But the way they fell off towards the end was really worrying, I think, for them. Meanwhile, yeah, the Bunnies, I don't know what's going on. It's be interesting to see whether they can get it together. There's a long way still to go in the season, and I certainly wouldn't be writing them off just yet. They're obviously a very strong side on paper. But yeah, I think they've got a lot of work to do. What do you reckon, Lainey? Similar to us?
Yeah, very similar to the two of you. The only one that I thought, if you guys didn't mention it, was the Roosters, but that was such a weird game. Like, it was such a strange game. But yeah, definitely those two absolute call outs. I ended up watching that Warriors game on my own instead of at a core park like I was dreaming of, up in Brisbane. But very interesting. You guys pretty much said it all. Goodness me. Well, let's see what they come back with this week. All right. So there was the other match, and I said we'll delve into it a little bit. The Bulldogs versus Roosters match. I thought this one was probably worthy of a discussion. So there were so many things that happened in that match. I remember actually my older brother and I, we were sort of like coming back from doing some grocery shopping, and he said, oh, check the score. What's the score? And I think it was half time. And I said, oh, my gosh, the Bulldogs are leading the Roosters. And he laughed. Like, he actually laughed, and he goes, is that true? And I said, I don't pick up fake NRL scores. It's not like a thing I do. But, you know, we actually rushed home to watch the rest of the game. We couldn't actually believe it. But, yeah, very, very interesting performance. So many things happened. You know, there were 10 tries. I think it was 5 HIAs. And then two players returning after serving 4-year bans for taking PEDs. And then we had a send-off, which I think looked like a photo shoot sort of moment as he walked off the field. It's actually kind of difficult to know where to start. I mean, look, I'll ask you, Lachlan, first. What were your takes on that game? I mean, it was quite bizarre. The Bulldogs came out with the win over the Roosters. We had even thought the Panther effect was a thing and that the Roosters would come out and win that match. That's not what happened. Like, what were your thoughts?
It was just utter chaos. Like, I watched the game live. I've actually watched quite a few bits back over the course of the week, and I'm still so confused as to the timeline of what's going on and what was happening when. I'm just, there's so much to take from that game, and it's just confusing me. It's just chaos. Everything's everywhere, and there's a shirtless Dom Young just like walking off the field in the middle of it. It's rugby league. I love it. What about you, Georgie?
Yeah, He's watching himself on the big screen, wasn't he? Thought he was a gladiator. Before all that, geez, Blake Taft played well. Him, Burton, Kikau, they really, and I tip the Bulldogs. I didn't believe in your Panther effect at all. But Young made a lot of errors before. Like, I went back, I think there was five before he was sent off. So that they had a lot of issues. The errors were 16-7. So that is a lot of errors in a game, and that's just showing you poor discipline. But other than that, all the stats were even. So it was an evenly matched game, but then it had all of the other stop and start issues, the HIAs, the sin binning. I think we're going to talk about Victor Radley's sin binning. I didn't even recognise Bronson Cherry. Tom offered him a world of good, didn't he? He bulked up there.
Yeah.
Got some tats.
Wow. So I'm just looking back at the game stats. I mean, like, Blake Taft scored a try before the first minute 30
seconds.
Had even finished. And then right after that's Matt Burton. Right after that's another Matt Burton try. And then it's Sam Hughes. And then they come back from the second half. It's Egan Butcher from the Roosters. Nofahu White from the Roosters. Egan Butcher from the Roosters. Joseph Manu from the Roosters. And then it's, you know, Bulldogs, Matt Burton. And then the final try was Daniel Tupou. 4 out of 5 conversions from the Bulldogs, 3 out of 5 from the Roosters. Goodness me. I think they're sort of missing Sam Walker's boot. Penalty goal from Matt Burton. Victor Radley sent to the sin bin, and then Dominic Young sent off. I think I think there was at one point it was the sin bin and the red card at the same time. And I thought, surely someone has to score a try here. But I think it ended up being Joseph Swali that ended up scoring a try when they had only 11 men on the field, rather than what you would have expected of the Bulldogs to capitalise on fewer men on the field. So it's a bizarre game, really bizarre.
But you find that happens once the sin bin, the other team always generally scores. It's got to be just messes with their minds. I just think that they either forget about it and think, you know, everyone's still on the field and everything's playing, and they just miss that one player. It happens quite often.
Yeah. The All Blacks deal with it very well when it happens to them. I mean, it's easy when you're attacking, but when you're defending, you really do notice, like, you know, two guys off the field for sure. But, you know, look, credit to the Roosters to make points while they were two men down. But, I mean, this is one of those matches. It's like, are the Bulldogs that good, or were the Roosters just having a bad day that day?
Bit of both, I'm thinking.
What do you reckon?
Yeah, I think both. Neither team's coach, I think, would be happy at all with that performance. Even even in the Bulldogs camp, I think that was a 40-minute performance from both teams. And I think you'd even take more positives out of it if you're a Rooster, the way that they were able to get back into the game despite having that sent off. Whereas if you're looking at it as a Bulldogs fan, I think you'd be quite worried by that second half performance, especially having been up a player for so long. But yeah, they'd be very happy to have the 2 points.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I'm sure Serraldo is also happy with the performance of the team. I think it sort of takes the heat off him a little bit too, because, you know, we'll get into it, no doubt, when we start talking about more headlines about, you know, just coaches sort of under scrutiny. And, you know, I think Serraldo is probably feeling a bit safe. But, you know, I've said it, you know, throughout the show, you know, the Bulldogs are quite an exciting team. You know, we are seeing an improvement in the way they play. And, you know, they might just be the dark horse, dark dog. I don't know. Like that one team that, you know, so many have sort of maybe been a bit complacent about, thinking that they don't have a fight left in them, but they might be the one that, you know, they might end up being like the Knights last year. You know, come the end of the season, they start finding form and just trashing everyone's tips for like 8 straight weeks. Goodness. I don't know if that's exciting or not, but I'm here for it for the Bulldogs. All right, so let's get into some of our headlines. Now, I've already shared with you each some of the storylines that have come out of this past weekend at play. Now, officials and stuff-ups, this seems to be an ongoing thing. You know, it's now heading into round 6. We're hoping to see better and more consistent officiating. But 2 standouts from round 5. Look, there was the Victor Radley incident in this very same Bulldogs match where he was sin-binned for a hip drop tackle. Is that correct? He was one of two players who were making a tackle on a Bulldogs player, and he just happened to be the one that fell on the ankle of I can't remember which player that was.
Stephen Crichton.
Yes, thank you. And he was the one that got sent off, which is rather strange. Not like Sinbad, it was very strange. Very unwelcome for the Roosters. And then the other one I sent you was the Manly knock on. Now, this is the Manly match which they took on the Penrith Panthers. There was 6 minutes left before half time. Panthers were attacking, and the Seagulls line went. Dylan Edwards threw a pass, which was knocked down by Manly's Tommy Talau. The ball goes to Tulukola, who scoops it up and races away all the way down the field to score a try. I think we all saw that and weren't very convinced that that was a clean try. We thought the bunker would call that back and say it was a knock on. It wasn't. The referee awarded it, and I think even the referee at some point during the game had queried with the bunker if it was okay, and they said yes. So I don't know whether we could say that was a momentum shift in the match, but look, I guess my question to you both is, do you think going into round six we're going to see this change? I mean, the bunker's probably received enough heat over the last, you know, five rounds that we're now at fan expectation that it's going to be correct, it's going to be right, and we won't be seeing too many more of these humble pie moments from Graham Annesley. I'll start with you, Lachlan. What do you think?
Yeah, I guess on that, I think there's always going to be contentious calls, obviously. But I do think that these two were the wrong decisions. I think most people can agree with that. I think, to be honest, I'm looking at that tackle on Stephen Crichton and thinking that's not even a penalty. That's Stephen Crichton, you know, pushing for every inch, and he's twisted his ankle. And that's all I'm seeing there. And then the Manly try, if you're coming to, he's getting into the line of the pass, right? That's what Tommy Talau is trying to do there. And he's trying to stop that pass. And I don't see any way how, if he does get the hand on the ball, that can be ruled to have been propelled towards his own goal line. Even if it just flicks past and keeps going the other way, I think he's still propelling it forward. And I think that should have been a knock on. And I'm very, very confused as to how the bunker did not come up with that decision. Georgie, much to add to that?
Yeah, so I watched Graham Annesley's comments this afternoon on that. So if I like how I didn't personally think it was a knock on watching it live. And then when you go and listen to Graham's, what he plays, and then he lets you listen to the bunker and the touchies, and that explanation should be good enough for everybody, because they showed where the ball landed, the direction, all of that. So I think that was very good, because there's such a uproar of it's a knock on, it can change a game. I mean, if that was a final for, you know, a try in it, yeah. So they need to be really onto what a knock on is and which way a player is facing. They do. I agree with you with that. Yeah, but I didn't see it as a knock on. I was just like, wow, good try. Yeah, I think if you're milking penalties now and there's nothing wrong with you, you need to go and sit down. I can't deal with that.
I'm really hoping that this season we don't see much more of this sort of soap opera sort of acting. I think this is perhaps the wrong sport for it.
Yes.
Yeah.
They play soccer, don't they?
Well, fans spot this and fans do not like it. So, you know.
That's right. You don't like watching. You don't like the milking penalty. You don't like.
No, we don't.
Seeing it or lighting, cheating in a game, do you?
I think in summary, though, let's just look, we're holding our breath. We're crossing our fingers that, you know, round six, next round. I don't want to hear anything about referees. I don't want to hear anything about officials and bunker. You know, it was kind of interesting that, you know, there was this proposal. And I really like the idea of what you had said last week, Lachlan, about having a sort of a completely objective party. You know, within the
that was Georgie's call. I reckon.
Oh, Georgie, was it?
Georgie's,
yeah.
Initially.
Oh, it's fine.
Well, I've jumped on
we
it.
We both agreed on it.
Yeah. Well, having watched the Super League, I thought, you know, there were so many TMO calls. I think nearly every try that got put down, they sent it up to get like bunker replay and decision. Why don't we do like a Super League NRL bunker swap? Yeah, I mean, because they've got no skin in the game for it here, and the same for our guys. You know, it might be also, you know, a good little exchange system. I mean, isn't the NRL looking to buy the Super League? Did I imagine that? That was a headline earlier this year.
You know, we're all talking about this. What else is going on?
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, there's always something you're really focused on when there's actually a bigger story.
All right, let's talk about coaches. Now, we've just sort of been touching on this a little bit already, but they're taking a bit of a closer look at coaches. Now, there's a bit to talk about here, so audience, just please bear with us. I wanted to take some time to talk about coaches, because last year we saw two coaches replaced, Anthony Griffin at the Dragons and Tim Sheens at the Tigers. And on our show this year, we made bold or not so bold predictions at the start of the season about some coaches that might have an early exit in 2024, or they might be replaced by the 2025 season start. So we had, I think, did we have Cameron Serraldo? Who did you have, Georgie? Yeah. You had Cameron Serraldo. Lachlan, who did you have?
Brad.
Oh, I think Brad Arthur from memory.
Yeah, you had Brad Arthur and I had Anthony Seibold as a possibles. Now, it's still early. Like I said before, Serraldo looks kind of safe. The manning performance on the weekend perhaps saved Anthony Seibold after probably some sort of questioning of his team's performance. And as the season's progressing, it's coming into round six, and there seems to be, I don't know, rabbit hunting season or coach hunting season. There are three names that are making the rounds on the grapevine. Des Hasler, he is a new coach to the Titans, and he's looking for a win. Brad Arthur at the Eels, so Lachlan, you know, your call. He's getting scrutinised even closer now for how he'll probably just mitigate all these losses without Moses and just sticking with his selections. And then we've got Jason Demetrio. So he's at the South Sydney Rabbitohs, who I'm actually glad has a really good head of hair, because each week it feels like it's job security for him all the time. And I think he's probably getting sick of being asked in every single press conference about his job. it must be just so boring. But yeah, and like things like higher-ups looking to replace him with old staff, favouritism of players. I don't know how many sleepless nights this guy has or how much hair is sort of falling out with all the stress. But I mean, trying to do your job and have all this noise must be probably a different kind of hell. Everyone's got an opinion, including us. I'll start with you, Georgie. And we'll chat about South Sydney first, because, you know, obviously it's the biggest one to talk about. But we've hinted, we've touched on, we've even mused about the club and the players. Does Jason Demetrio need a win for his team against the Sharks to avoid a call from Russell Crowe this coming round? And then my other question was, do you think this is a coach problem, a player problem, or a culture problem?
The headline was he will be axed this weekend. And I think it will happen, because I don't think they'll beat the Sharks. There's trouble in the camp, and I think it's a lack of respect from player between players and coaches, players and players. They seem, you know, there just seems to be some sort of little rift going on, and yes, favouritism, and I think that others are probably jack of it. But that's what we all see on the outside. It can be very different on the inside, but who are they going to replace him with at this point? You got rid of Burgess, you got rid of Johnny Morris. You'd have to wait for Uncle Wayne to come back if they want him at the end of the season. Then Dolphins are on top of the table. Then, you know, Wayne will be a very wanted man. Then he's a free agent. It's a culture thing as well. Like, it's, yeah, there's just, it's something deep down. And I think most of us won't ever know what it is. And the only way to get off the bottom is to get rid of Jason. I just think there's just no respect. And I just think they don't like his way of coaching, who he disciplines, who he doesn't discipline. Latrell's just completely lazy at the minute. Like, he's just strutting around the back getting paid big money. And where are you, buddy? Like, you're a fullback playing first grade, and all the other fullbacks in every other club are running rings around you. I could go on for hours about this, honestly. But, yeah, who would replace him?
What do you reckon, Lachlan? Who do you think the replacement is, and what do you think of those questions?
Yeah, well, firstly, I do think Demetrio's in big trouble. I think he's gone. If the headlines are to be believed, at least, which I think they should be. I'm trying to think about coaches on the market at the moment. I'm not coming up with many. God.
Georgie pointed to herself. Did you say Holbrook?
Holbrook's, I think, quite happily at see the Roosters. Did I make that up? Did I see him in a Roosters box? I might have made that up, but Justin Holbrook's in an assistant role somewhere. Otherwise, there's Morris, who's with the Tigers at the moment.
Yeah, but, yeah, Holbrook's at the Roosters.
There's not many names. Yeah, not many names out there. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I'm not sure who they actually have in their assistant coaching ranks.
Van Hornby?
Not sure.
What was that, George?
Sorry?
Is it Ben Hornby? Is he
Yes.
still
Yeah,
there?
that sounds right.
Yeah, it is
Yeah,
Ben Hornby.
so you'd assume he'd end up in the
You'd have
role
to,
interim or?
yeah, you'd have to step in.
Oh, I know South fans. They love their footy and they love that club and they won't like that at all. But you know what? They hate losing even more.
Do we get a free year of membership next year if they get the wooden spoon?
Oh, if what if we apply that logic to the Tigers, I'd be quite a bit richer over the past few years.
That's right. That's what they should do for sticking with them and being loyal.
But
I don't mind that.
kind of
Every now
interesting
and then.
though that you've got these new coaches, like you've got Flanagan, like Benji, I guess you call him new. They're not getting as much heat as Jason, who's been there for a while. And like you think about the Dragons and the Tigers, who's sort of the talk of the town as to, will these new coaches come in and turn their luck around? Well, it's actually worked. And I don't know, maybe Jason's just been there too long. Because like I think about it, like even in a corporate environment, if you're a manager and your team is not listening to you and they don't respect you and they're not following your instructions, it means they don't trust you and they don't respect you. So you may as well just leave. You may as well just leave and like open it up for someone else to come in. And also, what does this do to Jason's health? Like honestly, he must just be stressing so much. Like just not having that job certainty all the time. I mean, I don't know what happens when he walks down the street, what sort of comments come from fans, because I know there are just some South fans that are just so, when they feel like their opinion really needs to be known to a player or to a coach, I imagine they would volunteer quite a bit of advice on what he should be doing. And no one wants to be told how to do their job. And I feel like Jason, unfortunately, has been this guy who's been told how to do his job a lot. And the whole Sam Burgess thing has probably not helped at all with people sort of threatening with bringing him back. Oh, look, it's ridiculous. Sam Burgess. I think we can probably put a line under that and say there's no way he's come back. He's got it pretty good over there. There's no reason he'd come back. They'd have to find someone else. But I mean, I can imagine he would just be a better human being for it just walking away too.
Yeah.
I'll throw on Josh Hennay's name out there as well, by the way.
Josh Hennay.
This is another. But yeah. Sorry, Georgie.
No, you're fine. Yeah, absolutely. It's got to have a big toll on his mental health. Like you said, it does for anybody in any career in any job. But yeah, it's such a big business that it really doesn't matter. It's they, at the end of the day, it's just that they don't care for that, do they? It's, look, I've had a career burnout myself. I get it. I was, yeah, in that situation that he'd be in when people wanting answers from you. So, no, not easy. But for the rest of the fans, they don't give a shit. They want to win.
Well, I guess the other coach that we touched on, Brad Arthur, was one that you had caught out, Lachlan, at the Eels. Look, the Eels, they're usually sort of hovering around the middle and usually around the top eight, especially so in the last 2 seasons. This year, I think Eels fans are expecting that, it would be like the opportunity to improve on the past couple of years and sort of move higher up the ladder and really just kind of make a bit of a push towards a grand final again, like, a couple of years ago. Is that possible? I mean, like Brad Arthur, Moses has only been out for, was it like 2 matches or 2 or 3 matches? We had a secret phone call going to Mitchell Pearce about possibly coming in to backfill that role. And then after this last performance down in Canberra, I'm sure the daylight between the Eels now and other teams that they thought they were in close, proximity to in terms of performance is a little bit more obvious. Does Brad Arthur need to worry about his job as much as Jason Demetriou does?
I don't think quite as much, but certainly maybe a little bit. He's been at Para for a long time, and I mean, ultimately they haven't won a premiership. I mean, that's what it comes down to. I think for Para fans, they've been there or thereabouts, and I guess that's not really good enough for a fan base that's been waiting a very, very long time. And I think I know quite a few Para fans who are just quite done with Brad.
Yeah,
Yeah.
he's there until the end of 2025.
Theoretically.
Yeah, that's true. As Georgie said last week, what are contracts for anyway?
Yeah, they mean nothing. Why don't you just swap Brad and Jason over? Just swap, do a
Oh.
clean swap and see how that goes.
Can you
Can't get any
imagine?
worse, can it? Can it get any worse?
You know what? That might actually be the best solution. I'm sure they're around the same amount of money.
Yeah,
Only
just
difference is one has
trade.
to drive further. Oh, I'd imagine Brad lives out in Parramatta. I don't know where Jason lives. He seems like a Maroubra sort of fellow. Just making a complete assumption here. Okay, so we're saying Brad Arthur's okay. Des Hasler's new coach coming in. His team, the Titans, they haven't won anything so far this year. And then he's obviously had a few players, major players, injuries and such. You know, we saw the spray that happened in the dressing room not that long ago. And then there was talks about Fifita possibly, you know, triggering an exit early to his contract. Does Des need to worry?
I hope not. I think the Titans would be pretty stupid to get rid of him just because I think it can be very easy for a club to get into that pattern of, you know, giving coaches a quarter of a chance and then cutting them off when they're not getting the win straight away, which was quite a problem for the Tigers for a little while there. And, you know, I mean, theoretically still is. Hopefully Benji sticks around though. But yeah, I think they should give Des, I mean, at least a season. Like it's been, we're not even a quarter of the way through the year. Like, yeah.
Well, how long was Anthony Griffin coach of the Dragons for?
2 or 3 years.
Okay.
I don't know. Sounds about right, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they need to get rid of Des. He's got premierships under his belt. He has that experience. He's new. He's in a new place with a new team, a new climate. So he's got to get used to all of that as well. And I think, I mean, Kieran Foran, he's battling a bit of injury. I think he's out at the minute with an ankle injury. But once he's back in and he has that relationship with Des, I think the others can form that relationship. Like, I don't think Des is a bad coach whatsoever. Yeah, I agree with you, Lachlan. Like, give the guy a go. And it happens. I mean, look what the Dolphins and Wayne, like, that was a year. The Broncos with Kev, like, the Wooden Spooners. And then into a grand final a couple of years later. So they do have to give them time. But I think for JD, he's had his time and it's just got worse. And players have gotten worse. And I think that's really is the end of the line for a coach. Once you lose that respect and that culture's out the window, there's no point, is there?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Oh, well, I guess it's a watch this space, but I think the guy whose neck is definitely in the block first up is probably JD.
We'll be talking about it next Monday. JD will be gone by then.
I think it'll be blowing up our WhatsApp chat if it happens on Sunday. Now, look, we often have milestones. I think every single person who reaches their 300th milestone within the NRL, 300th game, that is, that they've played, often have, you know, a NRL official come down and present something to them before they take to the field for their match. Now, I've spoken about this before, Michael Jennings, who plays for the Roosters, but it's come out that he won't be getting that 300 treatment. So due to his past conduct, Michael Jennings will not receive an official NRL recognition on his 300th career match. This is what was said by Andrew Abdo. Jennings made an unlikely return to the game at the age of 35. He served a 3-year ban for using performance enhancing drugs, or what they call PEDs. But that's not the reason why also he's getting you know, this sort of less than glorious, you know, celebration for his 300th milestone. It's actually because of his bit of controversy surrounding his ex-wife in a civil court case, which is, you know, perhaps sort of putting a bit of a spotlight on the treatment of women and relationships. And the NRL are really trying to sort of send the message that, you know, they have absolutely, you know, this is a zero tolerance. It's kind of interesting that they want to distance themselves from that and say it's a zero tolerance, and yet he's playing an NRL again. It's all kind of bizarre, and including with the PEDs. You know, usually these guys, they offend and then they just sort of disappear into the wilderness doing a podcast somewhere about NRL or going to the Super League. I'm not sure. I'll start with you, Georgie. Thoughts about this? I mean, do we feel like he's being dudded here, that he's not getting the same as others, or is there just no sympathy for him?
I don't have any sympathy, and I don't think they should have just allowed him back in the game. I know he's served his punishment and he's done all of that, but I don't think it's a poor decision, especially that we're zero tolerance, simple as that. He's grey. I didn't recognise him. You come on the film, I'm like, who's that?
I think the grey hair was a bit of a giveaway of how long the 3 years have been. Lachlan, what do you think?
I think the only message that this sends from the NRL is one of hypocrisy. I guess it's better than celebrating his 300th game. Doing nothing, I guess, is better. But I just think it's the whole thing's a lot of bullshit from the NRL. I think I don't think he should be playing. I think
It's difficult.
Yeah, there's nothing that says zero tolerance about this at all. So
yeah,
it's allowed to play.
I agree. I mean, look,
like, and I think the NRL have shown us that if they don't want a player to play, aka Israel Folau, I think being the key one, I think there was definitely a moment there where he could have signed with an NRL club and they stepped in and made sure that didn't happen. I think the NRL as a brand, but also as an organisation that role models for the whole country and the Pacific as well, I think they need to be stepping in more in this case for the clubs.
But look, I'm going to go straight to the other point here, which is like, what is Trent Robinson thinking, bringing him back in the first place? You know, he was talking quite positively about the fact that, oh yeah, he comes off as Ben, you know, in a couple of weeks and we've got him named in our reserves, you know, and like, you know, coming on to play. And then you see him on the field. I'm just thinking, what are you thinking, Trent? What decisions are you making as a coach? Are you just so hating this job at the Roosters that you're looking for a way to get fired? And this is your sort of wild card option by bringing Jennings in. And then they have sort of have a reason to get you out. Because I know, Georgie, you were saying at one point, I think it was you, Lachlan, that, you know, we didn't really have Trent Robinson on the list of potential coaches, but maybe he's not liking it there as much as he used to anymore. I mean, I actually questioned that decision. It's like, why did he think that this was even a good idea? And how is it the NRL didn't step in and say, Robbo, what are you doing? Get him off.
Well, what makes him think he's not going to do it again? I think if you've been caught with it, I don't think a 3-year ban's enough. Out of the game. We don't need that. The young players don't need to see, well, think, I can go and do that. I only have to sit out for 3 years and I'm back. You know, is it worth the risk for me? It sets the terrible, terrible precedence.
I think for mine, Trent Robinson's job is to get Roosters to win games and keep a good culture within that club. If he genuinely thinks that Jennings is the right option in the team, which is obviously hard to judge from the outside, but what I'm getting from the outside is he probably isn't. But if he thinks that, then okay, I'm not going to criticize him for making that judgment that he thinks is going to win the team games. But I think that's when the role of people above him in the club, people above him in the NRL need to go, no, this is actually, you know, we have to put something else first.
Actually, further to your point, Georgie, when you said, how do you not know they won't do it again? Look, it's kind of like one of these sort of badly kept secrets that older players do need, obviously, a little bit of extra juice, not necessarily in this league, but in most sports, right? They do need a bit of extra juice or extra boost in order to ensure that they're keeping up with their younger counterparts. So, like, I'm not saying that Jennings is going to re-offend, or he probably is, or he's going to get caught. I don't know. I guess what I'm saying is it's that there would probably be more scrutiny on him and his testing to ensure that he's staying above board and complying with the requirements of the club. But, you know, when I think about that, after now that I've said it, we've heard of other leagues that are really good at hiding a lot of, you know, like test results and, you know, and like, not that, and I don't want to also exclude the fact that, you know, Shane Flanagan as well was actually part of a program that, you know, helped to, you know, lead PEDs for a bunch of young recruits and rookies when he was at that club. So, you know, no one's actually casting light on the fact that he might do it again, or he might, you know, sort of do the same thing. I mean, I don't think anyone will. I think he certainly learned his lesson and he was punished quite harshly about it. But yeah, I think the whole zero tolerance, Lachlan, you said it, hypocrisy comes from the NRL. I have a feeling this is going to be a big topic that's going to be talked about all week in the lead up to this match. And I wouldn't be surprised if Trent Robinson decides to just step him down from the game so he doesn't end up having his 300th NRL match this week. Maybe. It'll come later in the year when there's some other big scandal, or when they're winning games, or after he scores a try. I don't know. But I just think that there's a lot of heat. That's it for the headlines, guys. Geez, we've got some big topics there. There's a lot we talked about. Let's get into our tips for and our previews for round six. All right, let's get into our matches. So the first match of the round for round six, just before I start, the Panthers have the bye. Probably a good idea. They had a couple of probably a few injuries to have to worry about. They'll just be recalibrating, getting ready to come back. I don't think any of us thought that they were going to lose. I think only Lachlan and I had that they were going to lose. I think, Georgie, didn't you say it was going to be a Manly win?
No.
Nope. None of us did. Okay. Panthers. All right. Well, you're not in this week, so maybe other teams will have a chance. All right. So first game is between the Newcastle Knights and the Sydney City Roosters. It's on Thursday evening at 7:50 in Newcastle. All right, a few outs that we do know about for the Roosters, just a reminder, there were those concussions at that match. So I would suspect James Tedesco and Sam Walker will be out. And I think also Kurt Mann for the Knights might be out with a head knock. I'll start with you, Georgie. Who are you picking for this round? Who's going to win and what's the margin?
Well, firstly, if the Panthers get beat, where's the Panther effect in this?
Does that... Well, they're on the bye.
Yes, but how they got beat last week.
This is the reset.
I've got the Knights by 12, with all the injury with the Roosters and the hype around Jennings and all of that nonsense. That's what I think. What about you, Lachlan?
Yeah, I think that's very sensible. Part of me wants to go Roosters. I think I will go Roosters just because I think they might rise to this adversity, possibly. Maybe I have too much hope for them, but I think they'll, rise to the challenge. So I'm going to go Roosters by 4.
Very, very good. Oh, well, it is in Newcastle, right? So I figured that it'd be a Newcastle home ground advantage. That's why I've tipped the Knights. Also, they played pretty well in that bloody cyclonic condition that rained down on them against the Dragons last weekend. And they were actually pretty good, managing to hold on to a slippery ball and, their kicks were straight despite all that wind. So I'm actually going to go for Knights and I'm going to say 8 points. Just being a bit safe there between the two of you. All right, so we've got the match on Friday at 6 o'clock. That's down in Melbourne. So it's a Melbourne Storm versus Canterbury Bulldogs. Bulldogs will be flying down for this. I imagine, Blake Taff, Harrison Edwards, and a bunch of others who are being stood down for concussion, will not be fronting up for this for the Bulldogs. I don't recall seeing any major changes to the Storm side in terms of, possible injuries. It's in Melbourne. I'll start with you, Lachlan. Who are you thinking is going to win this and what's the margin?
Yeah, I like Melbourne at home. Neither team, well, both teams were very far from perfect, I think, last week. But I think I don't think the Bulldogs can knock off the Storm in Melbourne, even if they play like they did in the first half last week for the whole 80 minutes. I think it was more the Roosters not really performing last week than the Bulldogs coming out and playing well, and especially if you've got, Taff out. So I'm going to go Melbourne by 10. What do you think, Georgie?
I got Melbourne for 13 plus. It's annoying how they can come back and just play a game and those lads can all just gel together and can outdo a team. That game last week was a good game. I did really enjoy it, even though Brisbane were beaten. Storm at home, they're just ridiculous, aren't they?
Do you know these two teams are almost 50-50?
Really?
In history? Yeah. 45 matches played. 23 won by Storm and 22 won by Bulldogs. I find that just really
That's
weird.
Incredible.
Yeah. I thought it'd be a little bit more favoured in the Storm side, but it's Storm at home. Around this time last year, the Bulldogs actually beat the Storm.
That's crazy.
I know. It is crazy. Very crazy. Okay, well, look, I'm going to go for Storm. It's down in Melbourne. Pretty much an echo of what I said last week. It's in front of their home crowd. I can't imagine them, putting on a performance that embarrasses themselves. But I feel like, obviously, the travelling teams at a disadvantage here going down south, and they'll have less prep. I'd say for this one, because Blake Taff is out as well, I think it might be a little bit embarrassing. There are a couple of players, while I think of it, from Storm who just need to sort of sort themselves out a little bit. But if Jerome Hughes keeps playing the way he does, I have a feeling over the Bulldogs, it might be a 12-point difference. So, each of us are over 10 points or 10 points and above what we think the margin win will be from Storm. Gosh, we'll all have eggs on our faces if the Bulldogs end up winning another insane game if they do. Goodness. Oh, Bellamy would not be happy if that was the case. All right, so the next game that we have is on Friday evening. It's over at Lang Park in Brisbane. So the Brisbane Broncos will be hosting the Dolphins. This is what the Brisbane Derby possibly match of the round to look forward to. So I have a feeling that there's going to be a huge crowd turnout for this. I told you that the last match I was at, there were over 45,000. It's a Friday night game, but I think they'll get close to that with how many fans they've got from both sides in Brisbane. Adam Reynolds out for this, Georgie. This is not looking pretty good. I mean, I think it was reported he's got a minor hamstring strain. It's usually about 4 weeks recovery. So, is this maybe the slide for the Broncos, or are you quite confident in Jock Madden's ability to step in and cover for Adam. What's your margin call? Because I know you're definitely going for the Broncos.
By four. I think it'll be a close one. And when Adam was out the other day, they won with Jock Madden. They played very well. So no, I think Adam just needs to rest. You need him more at the back of your season. He's helpful to win games now, but the important is the business end with your big guns. I mean, the Dolphins are on top of the table. They're playing really well. They have the best coach in the game, as far as I'm concerned. Wayne is the best. Him and Bellamy, very good coaches. Brisbane by four, but I could be wrong. I usually am with Brisbane. What do you think, Lachlan?
God, I want to tip the Dolphins, but there's some big outs from Brisbane, but I do think Brisbane will be too strong. It might be a bit illogical, but I'm kind of got it in my head that Brisbane might be a bit tired from all that very high intensity game against Melbourne last week. I don't think that would actually amount to anything though, so I don't know, just getting my own head of it. So I'm going to go Brisbane by four as
Ooh,
well.
Lachlan.
Jump on Georgie's tip.
Well, I've been like going flipping and flopping between these two, but like because Brisbane have just travelled back from Melbourne, maybe they haven't had as much time to prep. I don't know. I don't know. And then like I actually read that Tom Flegler, might be out with a shoulder. Hubie Farnworth with
He's out.
an issue with the shoulder. Kaufusi as well with a hamstring. And like those three are really noticeable players in the Dolphins squad. And I think you've got other great talent that will help get them there. But you really do need a bit of that might. And I think they might really feel Hubie and Kaufusi especially out of the mix. Also, before I forget, I think Dane Mariner for the Broncos. I think didn't he hurt his back
Fraction.
after Xavier Coates like jumped on
Fraction.
his back after that try? Oh, it's fractured. Yeah. So, and he plays pretty well. He plays pretty well for Broncos. There's a 2-0 record from Broncos. They've beaten them each time. Oh, I'm actually going to swap. I'm going to go for the Dolphins. Because yeah, my heart's there. Oh look, and I'm even wearing a red shirt tonight, similar to the Dolphins' colours. Maybe I was doing that subconsciously. I'm going to say it's 2 points. I think it's actually going to be quite close. I think it's going to be kicking in the end. And Issa Ako has got a better boot than Stags. That's my call. All right. On Saturday for the afternoon match, we've got the New Zealand Warriors. They'll be hosting the Manly Warringah Sea Eagles over at Mount Smart Stadium. That's a 3 o'clock game. Look, there's not much to say except that the Warriors are coming off the win. The Eagles are coming off, Sea Eagles are coming off a win. Probably both teams are really pumped because they took down South and then they took down Penrith. Those are like some big scalps, like some people would think. Although South's not so sure. We've already touched on about the ordinary starts of the season. But Penrith especially, I think Manly are pretty buoyed off that. And DC will be looking to show that he's a better halfback than SJ. But I think the fans at the stadium might be something that Manly have to contend with because I think the last time they were there, the fans really sort of shook their confidence a little bit. So I'll start with you, Georgie. Who are you tipping for the win? And what's your margin? Because both of you, may I just remind you, both of you tipped against the Warriors last week. And you both said they played really well. So who are you going for this week?
Yeah, Warriors by eight. Warriors at home, and they played so well last week. Regardless of the score, it was the joining of the spine with the forwards. Egan running that ball. They backed each other. They enjoyed it, and that was good to see. And the toughness of SJ, even when he copped one, that he still went on and yeah. I think Manly, oh, I have got it as match of the round. I think Manly are pumped after what happened last week, like you said. I just think the Warriors at home, and is it raining? That always happens over there, doesn't it? They went in the wet. Hasn't rained the last couple, so it might be due to, and all that weather's gone from here to there.
Stop trying to jinx it,
Yeah.
Georgie. Jeez. Have you got
I'll go
Lachlan?
Warriors as well. Yeah, I'll go Warriors. I'm gonna say by 14. I think they're certifiably on a roll now, and I don't think Manly are gonna stop them, especially playing in New Zealand. So worries for me. They got off to an unlucky start to the season those first few rounds, but I think they've found their stride now, and yeah, looking good for them.
Yeah, cool. Thanks, Lachlan. Thanks, Georgie. Oh, I'd hate to like just be like almost peer pressuring the two of you into to be the Warriors, but you have sound advice as to why you've gone with them. So yeah, and also Manly are travelling. I don't know why, but for some reason, teams from the north, whenever they have to drive all the way down to the airport and they make their way through customs and all that, you know, I saw on Twitter that you know they think it's a bit of a pain, the whole sort of travelling over to New Zealand. But I think the Warriors are an advantage here. I mean, they come over here 12 times a year. It's not like it's a big deal. But yeah, I'm tipping Warriors. They played great. Like you said, that like every time Wade Egan looked around, he just had options. All of his players were with him, you know, gave him every opportunity to pass the ball. Tohu Harris, so many of them were outstanding. And even without Dallin Watene-Zelezniak, you know, Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, you know, filling in at wing, still scoring a try. Oh my gosh. The next match that we've got is the Parramatta Eels. They'll be hosting the North Queensland Cowboys over in Parramatta. This is the Saturday match at 5:30. Now, we heard that Cowboys centre Zach Laybutt, he suffered an ACL injury, and I think this actually rules him out for the injury, which is really very sad. We also touched on the fact that Mitchell Moses, his absence is really affecting, you know, the Eels. I did wonder whether it's just this early part of the season and whether it's actually going to be salvageable, you know, when he does come back. I'll start with you, Lachlan. Who are you calling for this match? Who's going to win and what margin do you think it's going to be? And don't forget, the Cowboys don't travel very well, but I don't know. They showed us a couple of times they travel all right as of late.
Yeah, so for me, it's as simple as it was dreadful last week and the Cowboys, I mean, they've gone on a bit of a roll as well recently. I mean, second, like that's not to be sniffed at, whatever. I was looking at some stats though for this game actually, and the Cowboys have actually conceded more points than the Eels have so far this season, which is quite incredible to think about. And also the Eels have been completing at about 6% better rate than the Cowboys, which is funny to think about considering the differing results. I do think this has the potential to be a close game. I think the Eels again will have learned a lot from the drubbing last week. So yeah, I'm gonna go Cowboys and I'm gonna go by 8. What do you reckon, Georgie?
Well, I have Cowboys by 12. They're all playing well together, and my big thing, you gotta play as mates, which they are. And I think Todd Payton's got the respect of his players as well. As if you're Warriors with Webster, that's, you know, that they have massive respect, and I think that goes a long way. And they're happy playing. So, yeah, I think that, yeah, the Cowboys by 12, the Eels just can't get it together. It's like Clint Gutherson is trying too hard. And to prove our point last week, he had a kick nearly the same spot and he missed it to the other side. So something's going on there. He doesn't seem happy, King Gutho, in his game, and it's starting to show, starting to come through.
I think he's feeling the pressure not having someone like Moses to help balance out in the halves there. Well, maybe someone with his skill and, you know, like knowledge of the game. But yeah, Eels, this might be a bit of a slide for them. I'm actually tipping the Cowboys with the both of you. I reckon the margin is going to be almost as severe as the Raiders match, even though it's going to be at Parramatta Stadium. I'm actually thinking it's going to be more than 20 points. It's pretty bold, but yeah, I mean, like
it's very Cowboys, possible.
Like Cowboys are just playing really well, and like they were, like a couple of games ago, I was watching the Eels. I watched the Eels Manly game a few rounds back. That was great football. Great football. It was exciting. It was fantastic, contentious footy that you love. And then I saw them play, who was it before that? Was it the Bulldogs? Oh, I'm going back a few rounds now. But yeah, I think the Eels had played, not the Raiders. It was a couple of weeks ago. It will come to me. And I remember thinking, you could have won that. No, it was the Tigers. It was when they played the Tigers, and I thought that's when I really started to see real holes in their game. They were doing really desperate things. You know, forwards, just run the ball, tackle. You don't have to try and – don't be trying to do no-look passes here. This is not how you play football. Looking for a cutout to your left and trying to do magic things is not going to help your team at all. And I just felt they were all getting a little bit desperate in the way they were playing, and I don't know whether that's really sort of shaken from their mindset, that they just – I think what happens is they get on the field and they feel sort of overcome or overstimulated, and then they just start making really silly decisions. You know, execution is poor, you know, just, yeah, not good. So I'm going for Cowboys. And they were playing fantastic last game. Fantastic. All right, enough about the Eels. All right, on to the next match. On Saturday in the evening, this is the final match for Saturday, we've got the South Sydney Rabbitohs, and they will be hosting the Cronulla Sharks. Right, so this is a 7:35 match. It's over at Olympic Park. We know Lachlan Ilias isn't available. If he was to come in and finally get back his spot as halfback, because he's injured himself with a fractured tibia, has undergone surgery. But also, I think the South Sydney team have got a likely suspension to their fullback following the way he behaved in that Warriors match last round. Georgie seems to be a favourite team in your household. Are you tipping South this week?
No.
And what margin? You're not?
I'm not tipping South. Okay. The draw got 3 weeks, I believe. So that'll open the door for Jai Gray to come in. I did see him play a trial match somewhere. I don't know if that was the one out at Mudgee. But anyway, he's outstanding. Give the young guy a go. I think it'll be really great for them. And as I keep saying to Kath, the young fellas all won last year, so start bringing a few through. If you've got problems in the big camp, start looking at all players in the big camp and start bringing up the young fellas. I think it's about time. I do have Sharks 13 plus. I think it's going to be more than that. I can't see South getting, you know, 4 or 6 points. What did they get last week? 4 points. Are they going to get more than 2 tries this week? Yeah. Who knows? We're very disappointed members in this household. Let me tell you, Kathy's heartbroken. That's all I have to say on that.
Yeah. We've talked about Souths. I don't think I can tip them. So. Cronulla have been flying under the radar a little bit, I think, just because they lost to the Tigers in that game, but they're going along pretty well. So yeah, I'll go Sharks by 16.
I reckon it'll be 8 points. The only reason why I think it'll be a smaller margin is because, I don't know, I've seen those players get in each other's faces quite a bit. And I reckon they'll be spending more time arguing than actually playing football, like good football, if you know what I mean. So, yeah.
So the score will be 8-0, will it?
I don't know. I don't know. Oh, look, and I also think about the experience of, like, both sides. I mean, you know, then you've got Dean Hawkins as halfback versus Nicho Hynes. You know, Nicho's obviously got better accuracy in kicking. He makes a lot more, you know, like the execution of strategic kicks is obviously a lot better than what Dean has. And when I watched Dean in that Warriors match, terrible ball discipline. You know, he was just in the wrong place a lot of the time. I'm not sure who's going to be coming in for fullback for Latrell, because even if it was...
Jai Gray.
Yeah, and like he was out of position quite a bit and just unable to get there. So I don't think Souths really have the goods for this match, and Sharks will actually run all over them.
Yeah, because they don't have – the Sharks are ordinary at the minute, but they don't have the trouble in the camp as Souths do. Yeah, you got trouble in the camp, you're screwed on the field, simple as that.
Yeah. I mean, like these two – Sharks have beaten Souths, you know, in 2 more games more than they have out of the 38 that they've played, and Sharks beat them – the last time that, you know, beat them 26-16, the last time that they matched up. So it's always like a 20-something in a team sort of score. So I think it'll be kind of similar in this. I'm not going to be that game to call the actual scores, but I think it'll be around about that very similar sort of scoring. It might only be like 10 points in it, but very exciting.
Just had an epiphany. What if they get Johnny Sutton to coach?
Who? South.
South. The players love him. He's always there.
I think he's been also one of the most verbal.
Benji.
Why not?
Yeah, can't get any worse.
Breaking news on NRL.
What's his face?
Yeah, could be. You know what? That is highly, highly possible.
Why not?
I remember that.
Give it a go.
Yeah, there was a lot of sort of stuff going around about text messages being sent and WhatsApp chats that were sort of disclosed to the media about his particular opinion. So you know what? I wouldn't be surprised, Georgie. I wouldn't be surprised. All right. So we've got on Sunday, it's the afternoon match at 4:05 p.m. and it's out at Campbelltown Sports Stadium. So the West Tigers will be hosting the St. George Illawarra Dragons. I'm going to ask you first of all, Lachlan. I mean, like, there's a few head knocks going around in the Tiger squad. I'm hoping that Benji will be able to basically front up a good team to take on the Dragons. They're your team. Who do you think is going to win, and what do you think the margin will be?
I think the Dragons are going to win. I'll start with that. I think I've had too many false dawns of hope for the Tigers. I'm not sure there has been any significant change, to be honest. I think the only reason why we would, you know, get on, finish anywhere near the top eight this year is if we manage to use momentum and get a roll on and keep winning. And that's gone already, just before it even started. I think just as a roster, we're just not there at the moment. If we don't have momentum in our backs, and the Dolphins were able to dismantle it fairly easily. I think the Dragons have the same amount of wins as us, both on two wins. They've been playing inconsistently, so have we. I think it really will come down to the day, rubber the green. But I do think the Dragons should have the edge in the betting odds, even if they I haven't actually looked at the betting odds, but I do think they should be the favourites. What do you think, Georgie?
By how many do you think they will be beaten?
We'll say eight.
Well, Tigers are favourite coming into this, Lachlan.
Yeah, that's an even worse omen then, I reckon.
I reckon it'll be a good game. I've got Tigers by four. I've got faith in your team. Yeah, back them. Oh, come back them, mate. Go and put your bet on them. They're starting to gel, and they're starting to get used to Benji and his ways, and it's all working for them. Yeah, like you said, two wins each. Even only be a try in it. Yeah.
I reckon it's going to be 10, and I'm calling Tigers. I don't know why. Campbelltown, you know. Look, they weren't that bad. Oh, I'd want to sound like I'm being sympathetic, or like, you know, sort of giving them a pity sort of like reasoning here. But, you know, they were actually pretty good against the Dolphins. I know that they didn't win, but, I mean, they still fought pretty hard. You know, they came off two wins before going to the Dolphins. Dolphins are at the top of the table. By the way, Dragons is number 15 on the table, and the Tigers are number 9. So I'm holding out hope for the Tigers.
I don't think you can read anything into the ladder at this point, like, really. They're on two wins. We're on two wins. Like, yeah, I don't know.
I just feel
they played okay against the Dolphins. I think it could have been a lot worse in that first half especially, but we made so many errors, we brought it upon ourselves, really.
Yeah, but I think they can self-correct. I think what happened to the Dragons last week, I mean, like, those storm conditions, not even the Storm could have won in that over in Newcastle. Like, it was pretty bad. But, like, I mean, Dragons kind of fluke their wins. And there have been some good wins. Look, I don't want to, and I have been tipping the Dragons a lot, but, you know, maybe it's just my gut instinct. But I just feel like Tigers might be the team to sort of disappoint the Dragons, thinking that they might be able to get a bit of a self-correct after that last match. So I'm tipping Tigers.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. And do you know what happened the last time, Lachlan, when both Georgie and I tipped Tigers? They won. So maybe this is going to turn out to be a win for the Tigers.
Hopefully.
Your confidence. All right. The last match of the round at 6:15. It's down in Canberra. So the Canberra Raiders will be hosting the Gold Coast Titans. The Titans actually showed some pep in the first half of their match against the Dolphins, I think, the last round. Was it the Dolphins they played? Yeah, it was the Dolphins they played. And, like, we do like to see a team get fired up and hoping to change their destiny, but, you know, they're still the team that can't go out and get the win, unfortunately. But this is a match that they will also be without Kieran Foran, I expect, because I think he's hurt his ankle, and his absence will surely be felt. I'm actually unsure when he's going to be back. But, you know, as I touched on earlier, Raiders had a stellar turnout against the Eels. Titans, unfortunately, didn't get the win. Who are you calling for this, Georgie, and what's the margin?
Yeah, Raiders by 13. How good was it watching them enjoy how they played? Ricky still, even though the big score, he wasn't, you know, still sold on it. I think he still had hard feelings from the week before. But, yeah, they enjoyed it, and they enjoyed playing with their mates, and it shows in a team. And, yeah, Raiders 13, maybe 15 plus. Yeah, I'll go 15 plus. I think the Titans have still got to find their way. They've got poor discipline, and they're still getting used to Desi and his ways. So, Yeah. What's your go, Lachlan?
Yeah, I agree fully. I'll go 17 plus, why not? I'm not sure I have too much to add. I think Ricky would absolutely blow a fuse if they lose this one. So yeah, Raiders for me.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to say Raiders as well. Like, if they can back up that performance they did last match, yeah, absolutely. And it's also at home; it's in front of their crowd. They're gonna have a good turnout of people supporting them. Titans, yeah, I think this is the furthest south they've travelled. I think this so far in the season. I am definitely gonna call Raiders for this, and I have a feeling it's gonna be a margin of about, oh, can I say severe? Oh, look, I'm just going to say 10, just in case. Just not only because, like, weirder things have happened. It's the last match of the round. Every last match of the round, there is always some sort of bizarre, nutso thing that happens. And it's always the match that we didn't expect. It's always an upset. Oh, maybe I should tip the Titans. No. I'm going to stay with the Raiders. I'm going to stay with the Raiders. I think it's going to be an interesting match to watch, though. So
Well, on
that's
that
one.
note, though, the Sunday afternoon games, evening games, haven't they been getting a good crowd?
Yeah.
Raiders had the home game last Sunday, and it was packed, and it's good to see. I mean, most people do go to work the next day, but it's really good that they're still going out supporting their team on a Sunday afternoon, evening.
I agree. It's good to see. And I hope they get like a lot of big crowds this entire round, actually. I think there's only what like one or three or four big stadium games. Yeah, so you well, there's more than that. But yeah, the Campbelltown one. I hope they get a good turnout over at Campbelltown for the Tigers Dragons match too.
Are you going, Lachlan?
I've actually got training on right at that time for touch, and it's 2 weeks before we go up to Mudgee for our tournament. So unfortunately, I won't be able to ditch that one. So I'll be at training out at Parramatta, and then trying to get home without finding out the score, and then watching it back.
Okay,
That's the plan.
we'll not
We
chat
won't tell
about
you.
it. Yeah, we'll keep it off
Thanks.
what
I'll
the.
probably have my phone off anyway, but thanks.
Happy to. All right, guys. Well, that's our show, everyone. Lachlan and Georgie, as always, many thanks for your insights, your contributions on the show today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Lanny, and you too, Georgie.
Yeah, thank you both.
And thank you to our listeners. If you're going to any of the matches, please be safe, take care, and have fun. We appreciate you tuning in, and we will catch you all next week. And thanks for joining us on the Mojo Sports NRL show. Take care of yourself and each other.